are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me. Everyone, this is Beth, health and wellness expert, back for a brand new show along with Dr. Scott Clitheroe, and he's an expert in, well, just about everything health related, and we're both so glad that you decided to join us. So how are you doing, Scott?
I am doing great, Beth. I'm not sure if I go that far, but I appreciate the nice sentiment there. Oh. I'm here to learn as much as to teach, but I appreciate the nice sentiment. I'm doing great, Beth. Thank you.
Oh, well, you're welcome. In today's episode, we're going to be talking to Becky Duay and Tracy Haynes, and we're going to talk about something very near and dear to my heart. Today, we're going to discuss everything about essential oils. So let's go ahead and get into our topic of the day and our special guest. Yes, you heard that right. Guest with two S's. And today, we have two essential oil specialists, Becky and Tracy. I've known them both for about a little over 3 years, and they are both incredible people. I love them. And I know we're talking about essential oils, but their knowledge about general wellness goes beyond that, which is really, really wonderful to have them on and for them to take the time out of their day to be a part of this show. So welcome, ladies, to A Healthier View. We're so glad to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Beth. I appreciate it. And Dr. Scott, thank you for having us today.
Great to have you.
So before we get started with the interview and the conversation, can you tell our audience a little bit about yourselves and perhaps how you got into essential oils?
Yes, Beth. My name is Becky Duay, and I've been working with Young Living Essential Oils for about 8 years now. And I started by working at a health food store called Heavenly Scent. It's here in Houma, Louisiana. And just started learning about health and wellness with vitamins, herbs, and the essential oils. And I was just drawn to the oils. And my boss, the owner, is like, well, you would really love Young Living oils. And she's the one that got me started with Young Living. And the more I started researching and learning about them, it's like, I have to have these oils. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, I know they're expensive. Because when I first saw the price, I'm like, I'm not doing this. This is too expensive. Let me go back to my cheap oils, right? Uh-huh. But when a lady came down and did a class for us and explained it to us and showed us, like, I was like, oh, my God, I have to have these oils now. I mean, price just went out the window, and I just started buying oils and studying and buying books and just learning as much as I could about them.
Yeah.
So now, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And you, Tracy, how did you get into it?
Well, I'm Tracy Haynes, and I got into the oils through my mom. As any daughter with her mother, she listens to her mother and what she says. And when your mom tells you that you need something, you take heed in that. So mom introduced me to the oils in about 2012, and I've been using them ever since. And I absolutely love them.
I know. I do too. I'm like a hoarder when it comes to my oils. I have so many. I get excited. I'm like, have to research and see what this one does and all that. But okay, so let's start this conversation off with the real basics. What are essential oils?
Well, Beth, they are the most powerful part of the plant. They are distilled from shrubs and flowers, trees, roots, bushes, fruit, rinds, resins, and herbs.
You know, I would like to know, I mean, just, you know, maybe how is that process? Do they, I mean, have you ever seen it done? Do they take it? And, I mean, how do they extract the oil? Is it just like a squishing type of, pressure type thing, or how do they extract the oil from the plant or the leaf?
Okay. So the essential oils, when they've, taken from the plants and the shrubs and the trees, what it is they're steam distilled. They go into like a vat, and it's like it's a distillation process to where the oils, get separated from the plant, and they use a low heat. And because you don't want to use a high heat, because high heat, as we know, will kill anything, right? So it's going to kill all the natural chemical constituents that make the plant therapeutic and makes the essential oils therapeutic. So they're steam distilled, and then when they go, they get, you know, when they go through the water and the oil separates, and they take that essential oil that's on top, and then that's what gets bottled. And I have been to the Mona, Utah farm where they have the lavender. So I have seen the lavender fields, and I've seen the whole seed distill process, how, you know, the workers are in the field, you know, they're picking the weeds because they don't use any pesticides, herbicides, anything, nothing like that. So they, when you have your citrus oils, all your citrus essential oils is cold pressed, because the oil comes from the rind of the fruit. And not the juice from the fleshy part. It's from the rind. And that's where you have the most powerful, your chemical constituents, like you have your D-limonene and your other, your phenols and stuff like that.
Interesting. Well, so, you know, how to, you know, again, I don't use oils as much as Beth does, so my questions probably are going to be a little more basic, but, you know, so you get some oils from your store, and a couple of thoughts. I mean, oil sounds oily. Is it a, do they evaporate? And then where do you put them? And that, does it vary? I'm sure there's a lot of answers there, but, you know, tell us a little bit more about the application process.
Okay. Tracy, you want to talk a little bit about that?
The oils can be applied by rubbing them to the skin, which is the English way of doing it. The French ingest them. The Germans diffuse and inhale them. And that could be the most effective method because the oils don't have to pass through the digestive system. So you can use the diffuser or just open up a bottle and smell the oil.
Okay. Okay. When you do apply them though, does it leave? Is it, I think a baby oil, but I'm sure I'm wrong. Does it go away? Can you put it on before you go to bed and it's not, you're not sticking to the sheets or to your bedclothes or something like that?
Correct. The essential oil, therapeutic grade essential oils are not oily. They go, apply them directly to the skin or area of concern, bottom of the feet. They do go directly into your bloodstream, so it does not leave an oily residue. The oily residue oils are mostly like your coconut oils, your olive oil, and those oils come from the seed of the plant. So the essential oils are coming from the leaves and, you know, the bark and the flowers. So it's a more lighter oil, so it's not oily at all.
Well, I learned something.
Do y'all have people that, no, I'm sorry, Beth. Do you have people that come in and they, I mean, you know, depending on how they learned about it, you can sell them the diffusers or, I mean, there's different ways, you know, when you buy oils, are there certain oils that are for diffusing and some for application on the skin or?
Yes. Yes. When they come in, some people, we do offer like a premium starter kit where you get a diffuser and like 11, 12 oils. Or you can buy them separately. It just depends on what they're looking for. Some people love to just diffuse, and that's fine. You know, as long as they're doing a therapeutic grade essential oil, because even if you're diffusing, you're still breathing in those molecules. So you want to make sure, you know, everybody's trying to go non-toxic, healthy, clean living, right? So that's why we use Young Living, because we're breathing in a healthy, clean essential oil.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, Tracy, I learned something. I didn't realize the most effective method was diffusing. I actually use them mostly topically or ingesting them. So thanks for pointing that out.
No problem.
Mm-hmm. You know, and as our regulars know, I've used essential oils for years. And when I did research on them, I found out that essential oils were used as medicine in times well into World War II. So when did essential oil stop being so mainstream?
That's a good question, Beth. They were actually first mentioned by name in the book of Genesis, chapter 37, when Joseph was sold to the slave traders. They carried spicery, balm, and myrrh. Genesis ended actually with the burial of Joseph's father, anointed with myrrh. They're over 1,100 direct and indirect mentions of essential oils in scripture. Some of the oldest cultures on earth used essential oils. The Babylonians used cedar wood, myrrh, and cypress. Egyptians used essential oils for beauty and embalming. And they have the oldest recorded deodorant recipe made with essential oils. And we know Christ used them as well, because Jesus was given gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Did you know, Beth? I know frankincense is your favorite.
It is.
It's sometimes referred to as the coconut oil of essential oils because it has over 10,000 uses.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
It is.
Yeah, it really is.
They were used in by the medieval Europeans, many of whom who brought back oils from the Crusades. It was only after World War II that they were rediscovered, and the sciences continue to grow with them every single year. So,
yeah, around the early 1900s, there was a French chemist named Maurice Gafassi. In the early 1900s, he was working in his lab, and he severely, you know, burned his hand. So when he went to put it in a vat, what he thought was a vat of water wasn't water. What it was accidentally put in a vat of lavender oil.
Oh.
And that's when things started coming back to light.
Okay.
Kind of serendipitous there, you know, a little unintended discovery there. That's pretty cool.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay.
What, you know, again, the historical nature of it just blows me away. So obviously for eons, this has been used medicinally, and yet, you know, again, in my traditional Western training, I don't have a lot of knowledge of how it works. I mean, what is the known physiology behind their effectiveness? What's known, you know, what remains to be discovered?
Okay. One of the things, in the past couple of years I've been studying with essential oils, there's a couple of reference books that I've been reading and learning from. First of all, Dr. Scott, I'm not a chemist, okay? I'm just an everyday person learning about essential oils, and I just love the company of them. It's like you said, it's just mind-boggling. No, just reading, like, the chemical constituents, what they do with the properties, and how they work, and it's like, oh, wow, that's why it does that. So a couple of the books is written by David Stewart. He's a PhD. He wrote Healing Oils of the Bible, and he also wrote The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple. And another book I use as a reference book is Essential Oils Best Reference, compiled by Essential Science Publishing. So basically what they're talking about is strictly a therapeutic grade essential oil, and this is the information we get. So when you're dealing with essential oils, like, I know you can go buy essential oils. Everybody and their mama is selling oils now, right? So my husband even picks with me. He goes, well, I can go get a $5 bottle of lavender at such and such a store. And, you know, he's like always testing me, you know? And it's like, okay, that's fine, but I don't want what they have in there. Anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you got a $5 bottle, you're not getting a therapeutic oil. I can promise you that.
Yeah.
So the for example, the essential oils, you know, they come from the nature. They come from plants. It's living energy, and Young Living carefully distills their essential oils, and they're maintaining all those chemical properties, okay, that makes it therapeutic. So we know, like we keep talking about lavender, is the most popular oil. We know it's very calming and relaxing, right?
Yeah.
Right. So look at the chemical constituents of lavender, you see it has around 50% of esters. And when you look up, okay, what is an ester? Okay. And it's like, okay, esters are known to have a balancing effect to supporting our nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
Supporting our nervous system, it's like, okay, so maybe that's why it's calming and relaxing. It's making that balance.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, that's why that happens. So there's a couple other main chemical compounds in essential oils. Actually, there's hundreds of them, and some they don't even have identified yet, but the ones that they do, like the main ones are sesquiterpenes, monoterpenes, they have phenols. We know phenols are cleansing. They're cleansing oils. You know, you look at your oregano, your cinnamon. When you apply those topically, you know, it's like they're hot, you know, because that's their job. They are cleansing. They're hot. So those are definitely dilute. So if you have a hot oil and you go to put it on your skin and it heats up, you want to come back with the fatty oil, which is the coconut oil or the olive oil. you know, or you can use almond oil. Mm-hmm. And you just put it on top of that area, and it just slows down the rate of absorption. Mm. Okay. So that's why it's very, very important when you're using essential oils, use a therapeutic grade. And that's why we choose Young Living, because Young Living, you know, they have the seed to seal process. They have the science, the research backing it. You know, they have it to where they do such strenuous testing. If it does not meet the chemical guidelines, like the chemical constituents are not where they need to be, they're not going to process it. They're not going to bottle it.
Yeah.
And that's yeah. what I love about it.
Now, you had said something about a $5 bottle of lavender. And, you know, you can go into almost any grocery store now, and there's so many different oil brands out there. For someone just getting into this, how do they know which ones to use? And do you, I mean, I know you all use Young Living, but for someone who's just starting this journey with essential oils, how do they know which ones to use?
That is a very good question. I would definitely start by saying, okay, what is the name brand? What is the company? Look at your ingredients. You know, you got to be careful, because even though it says it's 100% pure, you know, from what I understand, it can have a little bit of pure, but the rest can be diluted with other toxic chemicals. You know, they stretch it. You know, they're synthetic, because you can make anything in a lab, right? So there's like different grades of essential oils. You have the therapeutic, which means it's 100% pure, it's the real deal, no added synthetics and no other species in the bottle. Okay, and then you have the manipulated, which means there's like a final product and it's been made to smell more pleasing, less earthy, but some of the heavy molecules have been stripped out or other species introduced to enhance the aroma. So, you know, that goes into your perfume mold, right? So, you know, perfume oils are more synthetic, but they do use essential oils also, but it may not be as high of a quality. And then you have your synthetic oils. To give you an example, and I always like to use the Lang Lang flower. You know, you can pick the Lang Lang flower any time of the day and distill it, and you're going to get an essential oil, right? How has that tree been grown? What has the soil been grown in, right? Have they used pesticides, herbicides? What time of day did they pick it? Because, you know, early in the morning is when it's the most potent. And that's when it's full of life, full of the oil. That's when you get the most yield of oil out of the flower. So when you distill it, you're going to get the highest amount of chemical constituents to make it therapeutic. So if you pick the flower in the afternoon, and you distill it, you're still going to get it, but it's not going to be as high of quality as it was that morning.
Yeah.
And then, so I would say for those of you that's out there looking for an essential oil company, I think do your research. Look at the name brand, call the company, find out if they have a seed to seal process, if they put their forms or at, do they use herbicides, do they use pesticides, is it a good clean product? You know, do your research. That's what I would do for all you new people out there trying to find and want to use essential oils, because they are great. We love them. We love to smell them. I mean, that's our perfume now. I never did like perfume. I was not a perfume wearer my whole life. I just wasn't. And now that I'm using the oils, that's what I wear.
Yeah. I love that Lang Lang and Rose and Joy. Those are the ones that I can wear as perfume. And I actually like the cinnamon too. And Christmas Spirit. Those are nice little perfumes to wear.
Oh, yes, they are. Now, down here in the South, Louisiana, when we do the thieves oil, there's a thieves blend. People think we're having a crawfish boil.
I've never put those two smells together, but okay.
Yeah, I guess that's using thieves hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's not, again, you're taking, you know, things that people do every day for other reasons and making, you know, therapeutic uses out of them. That's pretty cool. You kind of cover two bases, you know. I mean, somebody who likes to wear fragrances, well, wear something that also can benefit you in some health way. That's pretty nice combo right there.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. It's all about supporting our body system. everybody wants to have health and wellness, right? We need to support our body systems, right? You're going clean, everybody wants to go clean and green and non-toxic. To me, this is the way to go.
Absolutely. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I was going to ask you about, just the variety and cost. You were talking about that. I think you kind of touched on it, but I mean, it seems like as a consumer, you know, especially if you're just kind of getting into it, how do you, know what the quality of the product, and, you know, obviously you go into a store, you're going to talk to the people there, but are there any other ways to know compare different kinds of oils and you know which ones are quality made and which ones aren't?
Well, that goes back to the seed to seal, like knowing the name, which brand you're looking at, and, you know, just calling the company up and, you know, trying to do the research before you start using them on you and your family. And I know what Young Living, because I've been to the farms, I've seen the research, I've seen the whole distillation process, because they Young Living allows you to go to their farm. They allow you to walk through, you know, like we're going in July. And they have a tour, so you can, and their farm, their tours are open every day. You can go into their farm and you can do a distillery tour. Pretty much open, you know, you call them and check it out. Look at the company who's selling the oil and do the research and see what the ingredients are.
Exactly. And I love this.
Yeah, for sure.
I love that whole logo, that catchphrase, seed to seal. It's great. I do have to take a quick commercial break, but stay tuned and we'll be right back.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
So we're back and we're going to continue our conversation about essential oils. And you guys actually talked about something, and I want to, you know, elaborate a little bit, because this is so interesting. I know you said that you went to visit, you're going to go again in July to visit Young Living's place, but how are oils actually made?
Well, Beth, it takes a great deal of work to produce the little tiny bit of oil. You know how much a dozen of roses cost, right? Well, it takes 60,000 rose blossoms to provide only 1 ounce of rose oil.
Wow.
So that would be one of the most expensive oils out there, because it takes so much to produce so little. Mm-hmm. Lavender is more abundant. 220 pounds will provide 7 pounds of oil. Jasmine flowers must be handpicked before the sun comes hot on the very first day they open. That's making it also one of the most expensive oils in the world. And it takes 8 million hand-picked blossoms to produce 2.2 pounds of oil. The sandalwood tree must be 30 years old and 30 feet high before it could be cut down for distillation. Gary Young sandalwood trees must be 90% dead before they are harvested. Now, Gary Young is the founder of Young Living Essential Oils, and he was a farmer. Wow. So he knew when to pick the flowers, when to cut down the trees, and get them ready for the distillation process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good to know.
That's a lot of, I mean, that seems like my mind is blown by the amount of produce, if you will, that's being used. What do they do with leftover stuff? I mean, are they able to use it for other things, or you know, what do they do with the leftovers, if that's the right word?
Well, that's a very good question. Like the mulches or something like that. That I guess we'll have to pause so I can look for that answer. But
yeah, that's I mean, how many roses does it take to make one bottle of of rose essential oil? You said it was like
1,000 rose blossoms for 1 ounce of rose oil.
Rose petals or the actual whole blossom or the petal?
Yeah, the whole rose flower itself, like the petals.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of roses.
I know, right? And it smells so good.
I know. Yes, I bet. That's amazing.
So there goes your cost of Young Living essential oils, because, you know, they don't add any synthetics or solvents or anything. It's the actual oil from the flowers, from the roses, is going into that bottle.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So they are a little pricey, but that's why, you know, because they only use the best and the quality control that they have.
Tell me a little bit about the safety. What are the risks of this? How often do you hear of problems with allergic reactions or something like that? And what do you tell your customers?
There are actually some oils that are photosensitive, meaning that you don't want to wear them and go outside. They're mostly the citrus oils, grapefruit, lemon, lime. If you do use them and go outside with them, you want to use a carry oil. Like my mom mentioned earlier, it slows down the rate of absorption. So it won't give you that burning sensation whenever you're out and about in the sun. And if you do, test on your skin whenever you're trying the oils, put a little drop on and you notice redness, you can put a carrier oil on, coconut oil, olive oil. And also note, it could be mixing with any products that you are using that has chemicals in it already. So also you want to be cautious whenever you're putting them close to your eyes for the burning sensation. You don't want to just take the bottle and pour it on your eye, around your eye or on your head. Just put it in your hand and rub it and put it, use your fingertip to put it wherever you need to.
Yeah. You know, I kind of have a funny story. I used rosemary, which by the way is a great oil, but a very strong smell. And I had put some on my scalp so I would have bouncy commercial worthy hair, which it did. However, I remember being in a grocery store and someone said, "What's that smell?" And I knew it was my hair and I just walked away. So I started using a carrier oil with it and that helped it not be so strong smelling. It was just kind of a better way. So can you explain, you've mentioned a couple of times, but can you explain to our listeners what a carrier oil is, what oils you can use, and why that is so important?
Right. Carrier oil is like a fatty oil, like olive oil, coconut oil, or Young Living has V6 oil. And its molecules are much larger than those of the essential oils. So it'll slow down the absorption rate into the skin.
It
makes it last a little longer, stretches it out. Yeah.
So do you ever just use oils, not using any carrier oil?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
So do you use any oils just neat, not with the carrier oil?
Beth, you can, but for first time users, I definitely would recommend diluting because you're just not sure how they're going to interact with your skin.
Yeah.
So it's good to dilute. But as you start getting more familiar with them, you're going to know which ones you need to do, which ones you don't. Definitely the hot oils. And we say the hot oils is like your kitchen oils, right? Like your cinnamon, your clove, your oregano, like your spices, right? Those are going to be your hot oils, so you definitely want to make sure you dilute those. Especially when you're using on young children, you definitely want to dilute because their skin is more permeable and they do absorb the oils more quickly. So definitely you can do the bottom of the feet, because they say when you put an essential oil on the bottom of your feet, that's where the pores are the most largest. They go into your body like within 20 minutes.
Yeah, I remember reading that, so, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a very good effective way. If you don't want to put them on your body, you can put them directly on the bottom of your feet and they'll just go where they need to go from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Tell us a little bit about the regulatory aspects of essential oils. You know, is it approved? Do you have to have FDA approval? And then what is the oversight as people start to look into these products? How do they know that they're safe? And tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. And on the reference books I was talking about, that they will show that they are like GRAS, that's the what they call GRAS, General Recorded as Safe. Mm-hmm. The ingredients in our dietary supplements, because Young Living does have a dietary supplement formula, the dietary supplements and foods are approved by the FDA for consumption. The ingredients in our cosmetics are approved by the FDA for cosmetic use. The FDA has not approved Young Living's products, but the ingredients used in the product. We also have a vitality line, which is fairly new to Young Living. It's an essential oil line, and they named it Vitality. And they recently just got approved for the non-GMO Project Verified label. And the Vitality line, it's the line that you can use as dietary use. You can take them internally. You can cook with them, make like dips, salads, lemonade, whatever. You can put them in your food.
Yeah. Okay.
So you drink them in water. Yeah, you can add them to water. The Vitality line, you can add to water and drink, or make your lemonade. Or I made fruit dips with the citrus fresh.
Did? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's good. And like a vegetable dip, we add the oregano, the thyme. So, of course, it's the Vitality oregano and the Vitality thyme, mm-hmm. and the Vitality citrus fresh. So when you're using for internal consumption, you definitely use the Vitality line.
Now, I love my oils. And like, I need to take a picture of all the oils that I have and put it on this landing page. But I have a question for Scott, because essential oils are so popular now and you hear about them everywhere. In movies and TV shows, and I've seen some bits on Saturday Night Live, but in the hospital, being a physician, do you have patients talk about essential oils, or do they use them?
Being in Austin, and quite a bit of folks who are, open to alternative therapies or complementary therapies, and we've had patients that have come in and asked if they can use their essential oils, usually topically, not with diffusers, because that type of thing isn't allowed usually in the hospital. But yeah, over the years, we're open to it as long as it doesn't interfere with our therapy. We have no problem with that. I don't see any issues with that. I've said it before on the show, but I'm open to alternative therapies. I think, I think that as a consumer, whether you're, entering traditional healthcare or alternative complementary healthcare, you need to ask the questions and be mindful of the claims. And if there's claims that are being made about things that are being sold to you, ask for proof, ask for backup. And that's always been, again, that crosses the line between both traditional and non-traditional medicine. So I think, if people come into the hospital wanting to use their traditional type, modalities, we're all for it as long as it interfere with the reason why they're there. And usually that's not the case. Usually we're pretty open to it. But again, it's just, there's been a few times over the years that not with essential oils, where people have come in where they have been harmed by overuse of complementary medicines, but never essential oils. I've never seen that. So yeah, I think it has been something that we've seen a few times, and I think we'll probably see it more and more as it seems to be getting more popular.
Yeah. As we wrap up this interview, I want to move on to some really fun questions. And it's kind of a three-parter for Becky and Tracy, but I want to know from both of you, what are your favorite smelling oils, your least favorite oils, and what are the top three oils that you guys cannot live without?
Okay. My favorite are Stress Away. It has the vanilla in it. I absolutely love it. White Angelica.
Mm-hmm.
That's and peppermint.
Oh, I love peppermint too. All of those I love.
I love peppermint. I love that smell.
One that I don't like.
Okay, well, you're thinking my least favorite smelling fennel.
I think I'd have to agree with you.
Yeah. Fennel's kind of my least
favorite. What about it, Beth? What about it don't you like?
To me, it smells like licorice. Is that what it smells like to you, Tracy?
Yes, and I'm not a big licorice fan.
So, I mean, some people love it, but I don't like that smell.
Yeah.
It's a great oil.
But okay.
And what are the top three oils that you cannot live without?
Lavender, thieves, and peppermint.
Okay. Okay, Becky, your turn.
What was the first question again?
Your favorite smelling, your least favorite, and your top three.
Okay, so my three favorite oils. I love frankincense. I love Abundance. Abundance is a blend by Young Living. And I love Thieves.
Okay.
And there's many more. I'm trying, and I love Valor. Wait, you said three. Okay, I love Valor.
You can have four.
And the least favorite, I don't know if I have a least favorite. I love them all. I mean, some do kind of have a strong smell. You know, maybe my body's just not ready to accept that oil yet. I don't know, but I can't think of one that's my least favorite because I really do love them all.
Okay, fair enough.
And the ones that I never want to be without is lavender, thieves, and lemon and peppermint.
He's going to give me four of those together. Yeah, okay. Now, my top favorite, frankincense, without a doubt, I never want to be out. I love frankincense. Orange, I really like the orange. And probably joy. Those are my favorite.
Those are very nice. It's so hard to pick just three, Beth.
I know, but I had to put you on the spot. But,
it's so hard.
It is. Yeah. Scott, what about you? What smells do you like?
Oh, I love lavender smell. I love lavender and peppermint. And of course I love the smell of roses. And, you know, again, you asked me, I have no idea if it has any role in essential oils, but right now in Austin, although the freeze last night may have taken care of them, but the mountain laurels this time of year in Austin, in Central Texas, they have this, purple bloom that smells like grape jelly or grape juice. It's unbelievably I love the smell. It makes me think of springtime and fun. And then I'm sure there's no essential oil for it, but I love oh my gosh, I'm blanking. Not lavender, but rosemary. I love rosemary too. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They make rosemary oil. Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. That's what I need because I love that smell. It's such a great smell.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I want to thank you both so much for being on the show. You guys are amazing. You're good friends. You're wonderful, you know, health and wellness advocates, wellness warriors out there. So again, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show today. And I hope to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Beth, let me echo. Thank you so much. And Beth, do you think we could get a link for the website for that, the guide that she was talking about, that would be so helpful, I think, for those of us who want to learn more about it. So I think that sounds like a fantastic way to learn more about it. Maybe we can put that link up there or put a few links up there maybe.
Absolutely. We're going to have Tracy's information on the landing page as well as a couple of links that you guys can educate yourselves on. So be looking for that. Again, I want to thank Tracy and Becky so much for being on the show, and thank you to our audience for tuning in. The purpose of the show is to educate you in new and different health and wellness avenues. For any medical conditions or questions, you should reach out to your doctor. For more information on essential oils, you can contact Tracy Haynes at dhuet255@att.net. And she is just a wonderful person to bounce ideas and questions off of when it comes to essential oils. If you enjoyed listening to A Healthier View, don't forget to subscribe to the show. I would also like to thank our sponsor, Atlanta Life Media Agency, for their support. Without them, the show would not be possible. And remember to visit our show's landing page at www.uptomeradio.com. That's www.up2me.com. And lastly, like us on Facebook, Up to Me Radio, and follow us on Twitter at Up to Me Radio. I hope everyone had a great time, and we'll see you next time.